All right, back to Genesis 40. Another beautiful story of the Lord Jesus Christ, as seen in the story of Joseph. Very simple story, really. Two men, a butler and a baker, who were in the service of the king, and yet they offended the king. And they were put in prison because of that offense. Let's read the first four verses again. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth, angry against two of his officers, the butler and the baker. Verse 3, he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Joseph had the charge of these prisoners. And he served them. He was a servant to these prisoners. And they stayed there a while. They were in prison a season. And this is, you probably already see it, a picture of how all men and women, we serve the Lord. All human beings serve the Lord, willingly or unwillingly. All human beings serve His purpose. They do. All, everything, every person and thing serves God's purpose. And all human beings, though, have offended their God. God is angry, Scripture says, with the wicked every day. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None that doeth good, no, not one. And all human beings are in bondage. We're in bondage to sin, in bondage to this world, to the flesh. And this is where Joseph was bound. This is where our Lord came. You notice these prisoners were where Joseph was. Joseph was where they were. And our Lord was made flesh, God was manifest in the flesh. Christ came to this earth and bound Himself to human flesh in order to save some of these prisoners, prisoners of hope. And it said there in verse 4 that Joseph had the authority over these men, didn't he? And that's what Christ said concerning Himself. He said, the Father's given me all authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life, as many as Thou hast given Him. Now, one of these men in the prison was restored to life. The other man was condemned to death. And that's exactly what Romans 14 said. Let me read this to you. Romans 14, so I won't misquote it. To this end, Christ both died and arose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So Christ is every man's Lord, whether he acknowledges it or not. Saved and unsaved. And they all serve His purpose. But they've all offended Him. And Christ is in His hand to save whom He will. And one of these men He restored. Alright. Now, both of these prisoners had a dream. Look at verse 5. They dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man, his dream, in one night. Each man, butler and a baker, which were bound in the prison. They each had a dream. I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right after Proverbs. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1 says each one of these fellows had a dream. That is, something came in their mind that troubled them. Something arose in their heart, in their mind, troubled them greatly. They were both very troubled. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verses 12 and 13. This is what a picture of Christ this is. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. The margin says, to afflict them. In other words, concerning all things that are done under heaven. Mankind doesn't have answers to anything, but he seeks answers, doesn't he? And mankind is filled with thoughts and dreams and opinions and all sorts of things fill his heart and his mind, but yet he can't figure anything out. And it troubles him. Scripture says that the law of God is written on the natural man's heart. The law of God is written on the heart. Man knows right and wrong. He really does. And it troubles him. And man has a conscience, a God-given conscience that pricks him until there comes a time when the Lord cuts him off and then he has no more conscience. But for a while, man has a conscience and it troubles him greatly. And man cannot, Scripture says, by searching, find out God. Can't do it. This is what all Eastern religions do. And I've been involved in this. Eastern religions try to, by, I don't know, meditation and things like that, searching, try to find out God. Philosophies, all sorts of man-made religions and things try to find out God, but they don't have any answer. No man by searching can't find out God. No man has seen God or known God or can know God, but the only begotten Son, the only one come from God, he hath declared it. He alone is the interpreter of God. Christ alone is the Word of God made flesh. The Son who dwelled with the Father came, he who is wisdom, was made flesh and dwelt among us to tell us who God is, to tell us our thoughts, to reveal the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only if the Son of God reveals the truth to it. And as we noted there, all souls belong to Christ. Both of these men in this story, they were in Joseph's charge, weren't they? And all souls belong to Christ. And some he delivers a savior of life, and others a savior of death. Right? He is the key. Also, all right, now let's continue. Verse 6 and 7. It says, Joseph came in unto them in the morning after they awoke, had their dream. Joseph came in and looked upon them. Behold, they were sad. And he asked them, Pharaoh's officers, why are you so sad? Why do you look so sad? And I thought about this. Man is generally an unhappy creature. You know, men, women, young people, that are generally speaking, unhappy creatures, very unhappy. The beasts out there seem to be more content. They're always the same. They're never moody, really. But man's an unhappy creature because his thoughts trouble him, his conscience pricks him, and he spends his whole life trying to find some happiness. Spend our whole life. Now, some persons, by God's grace, their thoughts, their sins trouble them until the time that Christ reveals the truth to them, the good news to them, like this butler. Their sins, their thoughts, God causes these things to trouble them until finally he reveals the truth to them. And then, for the first time ever, They have joy. They have real happiness. And others remain in their troubles and in their sorrows till the day that they die. And Christ does not restore them. All right? Now look at verse 8. They said unto him, "We were sad because we've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, "Well, do not interpretations belong to God?" There is an interpretation. There is an answer to these mysteries, to these secrets. There is someone who can discern your very thoughts and the intents of your heart. There is someone. Yeah, God. God. Look at, you've got to look at this. In Job, the book of Job, right before Psalms. Right before the book of Psalms is Job chapter 33. Now, I remember well us looking at this together. This whole chapter. What a picture of Christ this is. Job 33. Now look at this. Hope we can look at this again sometime more fully. Verse 13. Read with me. Verse 13. "Why dost thou strive against him?" Against God, that is. "He giveth not account of any of his matters." That's man right there. Man is striving against God. His complaints, his murmuring, his complaining, his grumbling, his anger is against God. Because God's on the throne. God is the first cause of all things. And man, his murmuring, his complaining, his fault finding, he gets mad at other men, other women, at circumstances. It's really God. And what Elihu says here is, God doesn't give an account of any of his matters. Quit your murmuring. That's what our Lord, remember what our Lord said? Why are you murmuring? And what Paul told us there in 1 Corinthians 10. He doesn't give an account of any of it. He doesn't have to. We're servants. We just take what's coming to us. And generally it's good. Generally. Well, read on. God speaketh once. God has spoken. Verse 14. Once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. Do you remember in Psalm 19, the two books? I think it's Psalm 19. Let me look real quick. Make sure I'm not misquoting. Yeah, Psalm 19. The two books which God has written. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament, the book of creation and everything declares the handiwork, the works of God, that God is, that God is, that thy God reigneth. If He charts the course of the stars, you know your life is set. Huh? If He charts the course and every step that an ant takes is ordained of God, you know yours is. Everything about it. If there's not a bird that falls to the ground that God didn't direct it according to His all-wise eternal purpose, you know every part of your life is divinely ordained. So why worry? Why fret? Why murmur? Why complain? Huh? And so the book of creation tells it. And then He wrote a book that you have in your lap right here, in which are all answers to every problem we've ever faced in this life. There's nothing new under the sun that's not dealt with, that some person hasn't gone through, that some thought that hadn't come into the brain of a human being that's not spoken in this book. And God answered it. So why don't we understand? God's spoken once, yet twice, but men perceive it not. You understand? Go back to Job 13. Well, you're still there. Job 13. So he says in verse... Job 33, I'm sorry, 33. He says here in verse 15, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction,
that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Oh, there's so many verses come to my mind about that. But look down at verse 23. Here's the answer, interpretation. If there be a messenger with a man, he's talking about with us, with this person in trouble. If there's a messenger with him, if God sends him a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand. That's the ratio of true interpreters. To show unto man Christ's uprightness, Christ's righteousness, then God's been gracious unto him. And here's what that message is. Here's what the interpreter said. Deliver him from going down into the pit. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I found a ransom. And that was free. Okay. All right, back to Genesis 40. So Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God? Yes, they do. There's not a question that's been asked if there's not an answer to it in God's Word. But now look at this. This is everything is written as it was written, as a picture of Christ. All right, Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God? And then he says, Vicki, tell me. Anybody catch that? Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me. You see, Christ said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, so I am. Philip, have I been so long time with you, yet you've not known me? He that hath seen me, hath seen the Father. I am God. I am that I am. Do not interpretations belong to God? Christ said, come unto me. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Come unto me. I'll take you to the Father. Tell me. I'll pray to the Father. Look to me. I'll reveal the truth in you. So Joseph, there's a clear picture of Christ. Oh, we can go on and on with that. All right, now, here's the two dreams. Here are the two dreams. Two dreams, and they're very similar. Now, here's a key to these two dreams, okay? Here's a key. I'm going to give you the key in case a bomb drops. Whether or not these two men lived, whether or not they lived, or that is, they were restored to the king, depended on what they brought to the king. But there's the answer. But there's the you see, don't you? You're smiling. Whether or not these two men lived or not, they lived or died according to what they brought to the king. Right there's the answer. All right, now let's look at these dreams. Verses 9 through 11, the butler's dream. Chief butler told his dream to Joseph. He came to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, the vine budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. That is, they were full of juice. They were ripe grapes, no green grapes. It was all perfect, perfect grapes, complete grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them, trod them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup full of this juice of the grape into Pharaoh's hand. I gave the cup. All right, so in short, now here are the elements of what of his drink, the butler's drink. There's a vine, there's branches, there's a cup, there's grapes, there's wine, except by the king. All those elements sound familiar to you? In short, what the butler brought, to the king was the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine. And more specifically, a crushed fruit. Blood of the grape. Are you getting the picture now? He brought the blood of the grape to the king. All right. Now here's the interpretation. Joseph said in verse 12, this is the interpretation. Three branches of 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and you'll be the butler like you were before. You'll be restored. 3 days, the head lifted up, restoration, back to the king. Ah, boy. No longer a prisoner, you'll be accepted. No longer offensive to the king, you'll be accepted. With that wine in your hand, you're going to be restored as a servant of the king. And it's going to be so because I told you so. Understandest what thou readest? Huh? Christ is the vine. He said that very thing in John 15. I am the vine and you are the branch. Didn't he? He, Christ, the fruit of His life, His righteousness, the blood from His broken body, which comes from Him, that blood is what we bring to God. What He brought, really, verse 11. At verse 11 is Christ speaking. See that? Verse 11 is a message within a message. Look at this as Christ speaking. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. The cup, did not Christ say, the cup which my Father hath given me, must I not drink it? And he said, I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. He trod the wine press of God's wrath alone. And the very lifeblood of Christ he gave, he presented. He went into the holy place once, not without blood, and obtained eternal redemption for us. Restored us unto the place that He prepared for us. That's Christ speaking right there. But really now, we speak. This is the butler speaking. And we say this by faith. This is what we say. By faith, we bring the blood of Christ. We come to God by faith saying, Lord, God, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of my sin. I plead the fruitful life of the Lord Jesus Christ as my own righteousness. Will you accept me on His behalf? And we're vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy wherein Christ dwells, are we not? We have a transfusion of His blood in us. So this is us speaking by faith. You know, the butler says he took the grapes and pressed them, didn't it? We, with wicked hands, have crucified the Lord of glory, haven't we? With our own hands. Let His blood be on us and our children. We did. We, with wicked hands, have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, yet the very blood that was shed with these hands purified these hands. Justified it. Well, Joseph now, and three, notice three branches, so much here, so very much here, as a vine and three branches. Behold, our God is one, but these three are one. So much. But here Joseph says in parting, here's Joseph's parting words to this butler, verses 14 and 15. After he revealed the truth to this fellow, he said in verse 14, just remember me. You're going to be restored. I'm going to restore you. You're going to be restored because of what I've told you, what I have revealed to you. I have told you the truth that's going to set you free. Now, one thing that I demand of you, remember me. Remember me. Think on me. And it will be well with thee. When it's well with thee, show kindness, I pray thee. Oh, there's so much here too. Our Lord said, whatever you've done to the least of me, my brethren, you've done unto me, show kindness unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh.
Whenever you talk to Pharaoh, talk about me.
Bring me out of this house. Indeed, I was stolen away. And all of this reminded me of 2 Corinthians 5:21. Clearest gospel. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This butler, see, Joseph had done nothing amiss. The butler had offended the king. The butler was restored to the king. The butler was forgiven all. The butler was ascended back to the place of honor. Joseph remained in prison. Innocent. He said, I've done nothing amiss, and here I am in prison. You're going to the right hand. Remember me. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Christ? Remember me. All right, now here's the baker's dream. Now, now notice how each of these dreams begin. All right, are you with me? Verse 9, the butler, this is his dream. He said, in my dream, behold, a vine. Now here's the baker's dream, verse 16. Chief baker saw, and he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 baskets. Oh, isn't that amazing? You catch that? The butler said, behold, my dream was this. I saw a vine before me. And everything, I went back to Pharaoh because of the vine. The vine produced it all. And the baker said, I have a dream too. I had 3 baskets on my head. Things I made for Pharaoh. Did you notice? Look at verse 16. He said, I had 3 white baskets on my head. Do you have a marginal reference there? You see that? You see that? White was in there. Full of holes. I had 3 baskets on my head, but they were full of holes. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. You see, the difference between these two dreams is the difference in life and death. The difference in what these men saw was one the savior of life and death. One grace, one works. One Christ, one man. The butler saw something. The baker had something. The butler brought what God provided. The baker brought what he had made. That's full of hope. And the very nature, listen, the very nature of their occupations will tell you. A butler is a servant. And what does a butler do? Whatever the master commands to do. He doesn't make anything. He serves. He brings the master, whatever the master tells, go get this, go get that, go get that. Bring me mine, bring me this, bring me that. Wash my shoes, wash my feet, wash my car. Bring me the wine. A butler is just a servant. A baker, he can bake up anything he feels like. You know, Lord, I think I'll make up some pate today. You know, surely the Pharaoh will love this, because I did. But I'm Pierre, you know. That's what bakers do, you know. They concoct things. Wild things, you know. Surely he'll like this. Well, a baker concocting, cooking, making all sorts of things as it pleases him. The servant, the butler, does what pleases the master and brings only what the master is pleased to have. The Word of God is so perfect, isn't it? So perfect. So perfect. But the baker said, behold, I had 3 baskets. I immediately thought of Matthew 7, where our Lord said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached, cast out devils, done many wonderful works? 3 baskets. Full of. Isn't that amazing? It won't hold up. Verse 17, the uppermost basket was all manner of baked meats, meat for Pharaoh, the work of a baker. Baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the baskets upon my head. And though that tells me, though zealous for God, though doing many wonderful works, yet without blood there's no remission of sin. No work will be accepted. The birds are going to eat them. Time is going to eat it all away. Now, only that old stupid saying, only one life soon will be passed. Jesus Christ for that. Everything done by man is love. And it'll leak out. It's no good. Only what Christ does for us will last. All right, verses 18 and 19. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. And he said, in 3 days, those three baskets of 3 days, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift your head up too, but he's going to lift it off. He'll hang it. Hang your head. I just imagine this man didn't like what he heard. Probably dismissed it. Wouldn't you say? Didn't like that. It says when he heard the other one, oh, that's good. I like that. He liked that, but he didn't like this. He probably forgot that. But it happened. It happened. Just like Joseph said. Everything happens the way Joseph said. And he's such a picture of Christ. No matter what men, whether they like it or not, all things, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of Christ will pass. Whether men like it or not, it's going to happen just as He says it. So the thing to do, here's the question. The moral of the whole story is, the question we need to ask ourselves, am I a butler or a baker? Am I a butler or a baker? Huh? All bakers, all who bring their own works to God, perish. One little sweet roll. I don't care if it's one biscuit. And all butlers, all who bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, will live with the King again. Verses, the last few verses trouble you a little bit, kind of strange to you. Verse 20, it came to pass the third day, Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker, and he restored the butler again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. It happened. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to him. Yet, the chief butler, he didn't remember Joseph. He forgot him. I venture to say that tomorrow, sometime after 9 o'clock, if not sooner, you'll forget everything you heard tonight. You wonder, how could that man forget? He did, didn't he? Took him 3 days. We'll forget in 16 hours. We do. No, how forgetful we are. How forgetful we are. Forget the Lord's mercy. Forget His grace. Forget His gospel. Go right back to murmuring and complaining. Go put back into prison again until we hear the message. But now, the butler did, in the next chapter, we're going to see. He came to himself. Pharaoh had a dream. We're going to look at that next Wednesday night. Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler, I've sinned. I forgot somebody. There's somebody I forgot, the interpreter of dreams, he's down in the prison out there. And may the Lord renew our memory of Christ. All right, stand with me. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. This is a marvel and a wonder to us. It is truly the Word of God, without doubt. We are convinced now more than ever, yet we will sin against Thee. We will forget Thee as this butler did. Just as surely as we wake in the morning, as the day goes by, we'll forget Thee and forget Thy mercy and resort back to offending our God. Forgive us, Lord, for our Joseph's sake, for Christ's sake. We pray, we bring. This is why we continually plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Bless your people this week. May it be in your good grace that you would bring Christ to mind to us throughout the day, the days ahead. We need this meat to go on through the days, chew on, make it through this wilderness. Bring us back again to get a double portion on the Lord's day. Forgive us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.